See what I've tried to do here, Katie George? You, me, Peter Burns hosting in on Le Batard, Stugach. I'm trying to play nothing but happy music coming back from break, just to like just pretend I'm not seeing the headlines as Orioles, Marlins, and Yankees, Phillies games postponed today because of coronavirus, an outbreak with the Marlins. We learned yesterday there were four players affected. They weren't going to travel home to open up against the Orioles there in Miami, and then now it has come out that the Yankees Phillies has been postponed because eight players and two other coaches have tested positive for COVID. So Rob Manfred is trying to decide that of what's going to go on. Peter Burns, Katie George, this is the Dan Le Batard Show, and remember, all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. By the way, we were supposed to have Holly Rowe, one of my favorite people in the industry, on at 11 a.m. Eastern. Okay. Sorry, I got to tell this story real quick. So we call Holly Rowe in on the break. Katie, you don't want me to tell the story? Is this awkward? Should I tell this story or no? It's too late. It's out.
Go on.
It's out.
You've already started.
Right. So I say, listen, I tell our producer, our great producer, S, I won't even say his full name, back in Bristol. I said, hey, do me a favor, call Holly and just say, all hell's breaking loose with Major League Baseball. Things are being canceled and postponed. We got to figure this out. Holly's a pro. She'll understand. So S decides to call Holly Rowe. And tells her,
you can use my name.
Okay, Spencer. I didn't know if I could use your name or not. I don't know if you wanted to be thrown underneath the ESPN radio bus for all the bosses that are listening. And so Spencer tells Holly what exactly, Spencer?
I said, hey, things got crazy with MLB. We don't need you today.
We don't need you today. Roy, what?
It's not a good phrase.
You just snapped, Roy.
That is kind of unprofessional.
Holly understood. Holly understood.
Yeah, she was very understanding, and she understood, like, hey, right, this is crazy breaking news in baseball.
Yes, Chris Cody.
It was, his tone was fine. It's just the words he led with. Yeah. His very first three words to her were, we don't need you today. And it was the message we were trying to say, but it's not because of anything she did. It's because of the world is crumbling around us baseball-wise.
Because
hey,
Holly
at
was,
the end of the day, you guys canceled on her, not me.
This is a Jamal Adams situation here where we're placing blame on a whole different lot of people, right? What I just said was I was making the executive decision in here for Dan today, and I said, blame it on me. And you clearly just could have softened the blow. You could have just said, hey, you know what? Things are being crazy.
Or don't Billy, you say, I see you shaking Peter your head. Doesn't need you today?
Peter said, we'll get back to you a little bit later. Because I did want to book Holly because Holly had a great point about how all these headlines went out about how WNBA players had walked off in the middle of the anthem protest. And that clearly wasn't the case. And Holly was the first person to really come out and say, no, erroneous, fake news. That did not happen. And so I did want her, but Major League Baseball set a precedent. We had to go for it. Yes, Billy.
Well, to make matters worse, so I believe Holly's one of the only media members in the WNBA bubble. So
in the bubble!
She's very in demand right now. So we sent out a bunch of times, and we finally got back. And she was very flexible. They got a time for us, and I'm like, that time actually doesn't work. Like, this was late last night. Is there any way she could do a different time? So she even moved things around to join us, and then we called her 2 minutes before and said, we don't need you, which is just...
And at this point, we've spent so much time talking about this conversation, we could have had Holly Rowe on and actually talked to her about what happened in the bubble during the national anthem. So pivot to the baseball.
So these games have not been canceled. They have been postponed, Katie George. And I think that's the big thing that we're trying to figure out here is where does Rob Manfred go? But I want to go back to what we were saying before, Spencer. By the way, also only gave me 10 seconds on the hard out on the network out. But that's a different story.
Yeah.
Normally I get a minute countdown. But remember, UFC had one of their fighters test positive in their first bout back, correct? And everybody flipped out. Oh, here we go. We're not going to have UFC. Well, guess what? They replaced the fighter. It worked. They've still been fighting. Now, mind you, I understand that's an individual sport versus a team sport. But what I'm saying is that until we know how this has affected the Philadelphia Phillies, who played against a, quote, infected team, we don't know how bad this is going to be for sports. So the knee-jerk reaction is going to be these negative headlines, Katie, but we're still probably 48 hours from understanding what this truly does to the remainder of sports that are trying to play this upcoming fall and right here the rest of the summer.
I think a lot of this falls on the shoulders of the Phillies in terms of what happens with them. If the Phillies come back after being quarantined right now as they are, and they're going through a lot of testing, if the results come back that they only have a few being a handful, maybe 2-3 positive tests, I think, Pete, that is a really, really good sign that, hey, there's an outbreak on a team that was just in town playing you for multiple days in a row out on the same field, and there wasn't a spread from team to team. If that happens, I think you can salvage having the Marlins come back and play if you can figure out their schedule moving forward. But if the Phillies are infected to a high degree, that's where I start to get pessimistic about, oh boy, this is like a domino effect. But if the Phillies come back and they're not severely impacted by this and players aren't going to have to sit out and quarantine for 14 days or however much is mandated by the league, I think that we should all look optimistic about this. And then you could start looking at other leagues like a college football season of, hey, we might move to a non-conference schedule. So there is flexibility in terms of where we can move games based on having a couple of free weeks, because what if an entire team or a high majority of those players test positive? We're going to have to disrupt the season, halt. They're not going to be able to play this weekend, but we can move based on the flexibility within the schedule to another weekend.
That's why the Pac-12 was one of the first to do it after the Big Ten had announced, hey, we're going conference-only schedule. I can't control what Eastern Washington is going to do or Austin Peay University and how they're testing protocols, but I can, with all of our conference members, say, hey, you know what? Indiana's going to play by the same rules as Michigan, who's going to play by the same rules as Ohio State. We have flexibility, and there we can control the scheduling. Now, the difference between the NFL and college football, Katie, is that we're talking about games that are being played once a week, right? You're playing on Saturdays in college football. You're playing on Sundays on the NFL. The problem with Major League Baseball is that in the 60-game time frame that Major League Baseball wanted, it is pretty much every day. It is a sprint. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can play a couple of doubleheaders, but also look at what happened with, I think you're going to see a rash of injuries that are already happening. We just saw Justin Verlander maybe out for the season. He says, quote, out for a couple of weeks with a forearm strain, which people think it's an elbow issue. We saw Clayton Kershaw coming back, and he's already been on the DL, didn't even make his start for the Dodgers. I think you're going to see a rash of injuries. You're starting to see it, with people not having a full spring training. And in this sprint is another thing that I think players are going to look at as part of this weird schedule that Major League Baseball is trying to do. And now they're probably going to have to pause on everything at this point after today's news.
At least for 48 hours. I could understand that. I hope it's not a pause that goes significantly longer than that. But let me ask you this. I saw a tweet from somebody, guys, that said, players will be fine. This stuff happens. We knew the positive test would take place. They can just schedule doubleheaders on the back end of the season. Is that feasible to be able to do something like that when this schedule is so compact already?
I think any opportunity to finish the season at this point is going to be on the table, Katie George. Whether it be, you know, doubleheaders late, whether it be having to move back and what you thought was going to be what the Major League Baseball season was going to end on this date, I think you're going to have to say it's TBD at this point. If your financials are set that we're going to play a 60-game season, this is how we calculated, how we get our money, how the networks do television, how the players get their money, we got to get 60 games, and then we'll play a Major League Baseball playoff. 16 teams will be in. Here's how we do it. So I can imagine them saying it may take us longer to get to this date where everybody plays 60 games, okay? Because we had one or two pauses when things broke out, okay? But I don't think that you're going to look at the back end of the season where playoffs start and think, yeah, this is absolutely happening that day. I think with the news today and how Rob Manfred's going to decide to handle this, he's going to say this time schedule is going to be different. And I guess that's okay, Katie. I mean, I know that in the world of normal sports, we are in this hamster wheel of everything happens on this day. Training camp happens this day. The Super Bowl is on this day. College football starts on this day. Opening day is around here. We have the Fall Classic, whatnot. In this sports pandemic 2.0, Corona, COVID-19 world, every day is the same day. and they're just trying to get the seasons in. And that's why this is a huge story. We'll continue to talk about that. Also, George Sedano going to join us on the Shell Pinzon Performance Line a little bit later today, because I want to talk to him about how this is affecting the NBA bubble as well. She's Katie George. I'm Peter Burns. This is the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts on ESPN Radio. Welcome back. Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. Guests on the show appear via the Shell Pinzon Performance Line. George Sedano going to be joining us from the talk about the NBA bubble a little bit later, about 10 minutes. Soccer, though, is back on ESPN Plus. Series A, FA Cup, MLS. They've got their coronavirus stuff figured out, and they're actually playing. We also have exclusive studio shows, a complete 30 for 30 documentaries, and library is all there, all in HD, on your favorite devices. Sign up today at ESPNPlus.com. or in the ESPN app. Katie George, quick Sports Center update, please.
Well, NFL players who contract the coronavirus through high-risk activity away from team facilities can face team discipline and might be at risk of not being paid, according to the league's new protocol. Houston Astros ace Justin Verlander will miss time because of a strained right forearm, but he's disputing a report that he's finished for the season. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
You can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. Katie, you brought up it's not just Major League Baseball that's rethinking things, or at least processing this information. It's another league as well. What was that?
The NFL. I was on in the afternoons earlier this week, and or last week, and I was with Chris Carlin, and he said, is it too late for the NFL to consider a bubble? And what he proposed was four bubble sites, eight teams in each site. And then you would play the first half of the season. And then at the midpoint, you would shuffle teams around so that they could play different opponents. And if, say, a bubble city had too many positive cases or saw a surge, you could move to a different bubble city. But he thought four bubble sites, eight teams in each, was a possibility and something that should be considered. And so when I was thinking about it, you and I have had conversations on Best Week Ever about conferences in college football considering a bubble. If you're in the ACC, is there a city where you could bring all football teams? If the SEC, could you consider a bubble city for that? I know you're shaking your head, but why are you shaking your head when we're in this point, when we're having this conversation right now, 4 days after the MLB started their play?
Here's the deal.
Not
and it's
in a
time
bubble.
For it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The reason why I'm shaking my head is that I don't believe that you can have a bubble of one city where college kids will go to. What I do believe is that if college football, if we see that Major League Baseball and this outbreak is a little bit more, right? We've already seen that the Yankees-Phillies game has been postponed, Orioles-Marlins game has been postponed. If we figure that this is somewhat of an outbreak because Marlins did play the Phillies and this is spread, it is going to show that the idea of a bubble and what the NBA is doing works. Now, I don't think you could do that in college. You can't put 14 college teams in the SEC in one city. But what you could potentially do is turn each individual campus into its own bubble, which is being done right now. That's why Oklahoma football has had zero positive tests. That's why Notre Dame had the similar situation. All right. You also had Michigan that was successful in their testing. University of Kentucky tested all of their players in Lexington. They didn't have a single player test positive. You know why? Because it is a bubble right now. It functions as a bubble. It's maybe not as strict as Orlando's bubble in the WNBA or in the NBA or what the WNBA is doing. But the idea if you're going to have college kids back on campus, then this
it's
is what you're going to be.
It's not a bubble anymore.
It's not going to be a bubble
anymore. When you have the student body come back in fall for in-class opportunities, it's not going to be a bubble anymore. Yes, it's great, and I'm so happy that we've seen zero positive tests from places like Oklahoma, Kentucky, Clemson is another that had 30-plus students, athletes, quarantined at the start of this thing and now have presented zero positive new cases. That's awesome. But when you have students, the full student body, come back to these campuses, it's no longer a bubble. And so I don't think that it's out of the question of, hey, maybe we consider a bubble site or two. For the ACC, you could have two sites with the Coastal and the Atlantic divisions. I think it's something that should be on the table. I mean, we're sitting here talking about all these contingency plans.
But Katie, you're putting about college kids, 100 guys on a roster, and what, seven different, you're saying two sites. You're saying you're going to have 750 college kids live in one city for 3 months? That sure as hell ain't happening. Like, there's
Peter,
no
it's
way.
It's easier to mandate college athletes what they do. We were both college athletes at the Division I level. You're told what to do. In this case, yes, you are. Hey, we're going here. We're doing this. This is when you need to wake up. This is when you're having workouts. This is when you're having your tutor. Your whole life in college is dictated towards you. And I'm not saying, hey, you have to make kids play if they feel unsafe. We've already seen that a lot of these universities have said, if you don't feel comfortable playing, we are going to honor your scholarship. Do not feel pressured into playing. A lot of these kids want to play. But I'm telling you, when you have college students come back to campuses and you've got Clemson players or LSU players going to Tigerland or whatever that strip of bars is down in LSU and Baton Rouge, you're
going to
have
Fred's
an outbreak
place.
Like you see with the Miami Marlins. And then you're going to have a weekend of a game canceled.
Okay, so with that being said, I think the idea of having 700 kids from half of conference in the SEC or the ACC or the Big 12 in one bubble city, I don't think that that's doable for, 3 months. What I do think is doable is you create the bubble that you have on campuses right now. Like, all of these college campuses are, in fact, a bubble because the schools are not back, right? There hasn't been huge outbreaks along college football players. And so what you need to do, you create that bubble all season long. If you want college football to be played, the university presidents are going to come and are going to have to be comfortable with the situation going, college football will be played for the sake of the kids, for the sake of the athletic departments and what that means for the future. But guess what? We're probably not going to be able to have kids on campus. And if you don't think that's right, you don't want to play, we'll keep your scholarship. Totally understood. We 100% will honor that. But they're not comfortable with that. And if they're not comfortable with that, then you better be comfortable with not having a college football season, because that's what's happening, or at least appears to be happening if this Major League Baseball that we see in this outbreak with the Marlins stretches for more than just 8 players and 2 coaches and postponing 2 games, Katie.
Okay, if you don't feel comfortable and don't think it's feasible to put college athletes into a bubble, do you think that it's something the NFL at the professional level should consider?
I think at that point, because they are professionals and they're being paid, I think everything's on the table at this point. I think everything is on the table within the next 48 hours are clutch. That's what I'm saying, is that we're going to figure out what happened with the Phillies. I really think the Philadelphia Phillies are a linchpin for everything on how we're going to handle this. If the Philadelphia Phillies come through after playing a series against the Miami Marlins, who had this, quote, outbreak, if there are no issues from that, then you know what? We can take a pause, take a deep breath. But if there are, frankly, everything's on the table if you want to continue to go. I'm trying with all the Major League Baseball news. I'm trying. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Peter Burns, Katie George here for Dan Le Batard and Stu Gott's show. Of course, guests here on this show appear via the Shell Pinzoro Performance Line, where we're joined by George Sedano, who's hosting NBA Countdown tonight, ESPN2, 8 p.m. I want to get into this. I know it's a red zone style show, but your reaction to Major League Baseball now having to postpone a couple of games with this Marlins outbreak, and what this means or does not mean for other sports, including the NBA bubble.
Peter, Katie, good to be with you guys. I mean, look, I felt like this was inevitable. If you're not going to do a bubble concept, I think that your chances of succeeding are low. And there's a reason Dr. Fauci and the CDC signed off on the 113-page manual and everything that the NBA is doing in Orlando, even though it's in a hot spot in Orlando, that they're able to kind of keep that potentially secure. Major League Baseball, initially, the players didn't want to have a bubble because their season was allegedly going to be 4 or 5 months, and they didn't want to be away from their families. That's fair, totally fair. But once they knew it was 60 games, they should have revisited the concept and found a way to do it that way. But yet, here we are, because they didn't decide to do that.
George, you're hosting NBA Countdown tonight on ESPN2 starting at 8 o'clock. Are you guys doing a red zone style show tonight? What can fans expect?
So, yeah, that's what we're doing. There's, I believe, 5 scrimmages tonight, and there will be one will be basically in the fourth quarter by the time we kick off, and there'll be 2 that will begin right when we start at 8 Eastern. and we may be able to catch the tail end of the last game, at least the first half potentially. So, yeah, we're going to be going in and out of games. We're going to be talking about all the different aspects of the league. We're going to break down every team basically and kind of their strengths and weaknesses and just kind of almost kind of treat it like just a bunch of guys hanging out talking about basketball while we're all watching basketball together. It's going to be myself, Jalen Rose, Paul Pierce, and Jay Williams. So it should be a fun time.
I know you're as thrilled as anybody that play is going to resume starting Thursday night. What was your biggest takeaway from the few scrimmages that you've seen thus far?
You know, last night I was watching Philly, and I found it pretty interesting how well they looked on the floor with Ben Simmons at the four and Shake Milton playing point guard. I think people think to themselves, oh, Shake Milton is just some G League guy. Yeah, but he's actually pretty good. He shoots 40-some-odd percent from three, and that's been the biggest weakness for Philadelphia is not having spacing for Simmons and Embiid. And I know Embiid didn't play yesterday, but it just that to me was interesting because they were able to utilize Horford on the floor with Simmons, which is similar to Embiid and Simmons in a lot of ways, right? Like they in theory, would share some of the same space, but Horford and Simmons actually have played very well together. They're like a +9 or +10, I believe, when they're on the court. But Shake Milton really has added a different dimension to them. I also thought it was interesting that I saw Portland try to play Yusuf Nurkic and Hassan Whiteside together in like this monster lineup. And that makes some sense because if they get the eighth seed, if they're able to overcome the deficit and win the play-in against the Grizzlies potentially, they would face the Lakers, who play with a traditional center in either Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee, and obviously Anthony Davis. So they're kind of experimenting with some stuff. So I like the fact that teams are doing that. The Heat are experimenting with Tyler Hero as like a secondary ball handler. The Lakers look amazing. Even Deion Waiters all of a sudden has had a resurgence. So there's a lot of little interesting nuggets that are going on when you watch these games and these scrimmages.
We saw Bol Bol running the point for the Denver Nuggets at one point. I mean, all of it's going to look different. George Sedano joining Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Levitard Show. Now, obviously, the story that has dominated the headlines is chicken wings from Magic City. Of course, the Lou Will, coming back from a funeral, decides to stop at his favorite restaurant where he has a menu item named after himself, the Lou Will Wings, but now not doing the four-day quarantine like Zion, who had an excused absence, who was tested every single day, a 10-game quarantine. What is that going to do? Because right off the bat, they're facing the Lakers 9 p.m. Over here, and they're opener on Thursday.
Well, yeah, he's not going to be available for that game, obviously. And what it shows is the NBA's not messing around. Look, you want to go and go out? Okay, cool. If you would have done the excused absence, which was he was going to, I guess, see some relatives because someone he knew had passed, that would have only been a four-day quarantine. It would have been a family emergency, much like what Zion is dealing with. But when he decided to go outside and clearly put himself in a more potential harmful situation from a health perspective, they had to act this way, and they had to give him the 10-day, which is similar to what Rashawn Holmes got of the Sacramento Kings. You remember, he's the guy that got duped into going out and grabbing his Postmates or whatever it was outside the bubble as opposed to staying in his room during the initial 48-hour quarantine. So, yeah, that's the way the NBA is going to deal with it. As far as the Clippers are concerned, it's going to be interesting. The Clippers are so deep that in a one-game sample, they could probably get by without him. They've got a guy like Reggie Jackson who they brought onto this roster who can play a similar type role, although he's not as good as Lou Williams. But the Lakers in that last meeting in March against the Clippers really targeted Lou Williams on defense. Like, they were hunting him. They were like, whoever, let's make sure we switch on whoever Lou has got and make sure that we go at him all day, every day. And it was really effective in that particular game. So I'm curious to see what the Lakers do in this situation, how the Clippers kind of try to remedy that with whoever they plug in. But if the Lakers win that first game, they're basically coasting. They can basically sit guys because they would have a 6.5-game lead against the Clippers. And at that point, they can just kind of utilize the remaining games as exhibition games of sorts.
George, you mentioned the Clippers' depth, and I think we can all agree that they probably won't catch the Lakers in this 8-game finish. But, I mean, it's feasible that the Clippers could slide in the Western Conference standings. I mean, the Nuggets are only a game back, the Jazz a couple more. There's been a lot of shuffling. Montrezl Harrell has left the bubble. Patrick Beverley has left the bubble. Zubac is now in quarantine. I mean, is all the shuffling for such a deep team possibly going to play a factor in the way that they restart this season?
Katie, it's possible, but they haven't had a lot of continuity as far as their lineups all season long and have performed pretty well. To me, as long as Kawhi is available and Paul George is available, they're pretty much set. Honestly, really with Kawhi specifically, even with Paul George out of the lineup, I'll give you some numbers here. When it's just Kawhi, they are a plus 11, okay? When it's just Paul George and the group out on the floor, it's only a plus 2. So really, Kawhi is the glue to all of this. But when you have the two of them together, I think they're like a plus 12 or 13 or something crazy like that. So as long as those two guys are healthy, and Paul George should be healthy now with his hamstrings after the four-month layoff, his shoulders should feel good. I've heard everything about Kawhi feeling great for the first time in a long time. As long as those guys are healthy, they should be okay. The rest of those parts are somewhat interchangeable, although Pat Bev is going to be back, it seems like, and my understanding is that Harrell will be back at some point here, potentially during the regular season. So if they can get their group together, they'll be fine, but as long as the top two guys are there, they can pretty much manage, at least until they get to the conference finals. Then they'll need their full arsenal against the Lakers, I believe.
It's fascinating, Sedano. We're watching a 30 for 30 real life episode being prepared for us chapter by chapter, day by day. And part of that is tonight's the scrimmage, and then, of course, opening night of college basketball or NBA basketball coming up on Thursday. NBA countdown tonight, ESPN2, 8 p.m. George Sedano, the star. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, George.
Peter, Katie, take care. See ya.
There it is, George Sedano joining us here on the Dan Le Batard Show. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Today is for doing, and today we celebrate something good news, at least. Michael Thompson, hasn't been a whole lot of winning for him in his career on tour, but on Sunday, birdied the last three holes to win the 3M Open by 2 strokes over Adam Long, his second PGA Tour victory, first in 7 years. Today is for doing, and it's brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to get projects done smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Peter Burns and Katie George, as we are still reeling from everything that's happening in Major League Baseball, is if you're just waking up, it must have been a hell of a weekend for you. But the Miami Marlins were originally not scheduled to fly home to take on the Phillies later today because they had 4 players test positive with COVID-19. This has escalated as of this morning. 8 more players, including 2 more coaches, for a total of 14 players, meaning that their game now against the Phillies has been or at least against the Orioles, the home opener, has been postponed. And now the Phillies, who just played the Marlins, that game, Katie, has been postponed as well. Overall, now you see Major League Baseball going to have a conference call at 12:30 with all 30 of their owners, Katie. You think positive? You think it's chaos? What do you expect to learn as we see what happens with this call?
I would expect that Rob Manfred would get on the phone as a commissioner and say, hey, I just want to update you first and foremost. This is what we're going to do. We're going to either halt for 48 hours these teams, allow them to quarantine before we know more, or XYZ. I imagine, though, that's what I would expect and I would hope from a commissioner. I imagine, though, it's going to be more of the latter, that it's going to be a chaotic call and maybe more reactive than proactive. I mean, given everything we know about how the MLB has handled this, I thought George Sedano brought up a great point. Initially, players did not want to go into a bubble. They didn't like the bubble concepts in terms of where the bubbles would be. Arizona, Florida being 2 large park areas where they could play, you know, multiple stadiums, multiple fields. They could house plenty of teams. They didn't like that idea because they were becoming hotspots, right? Well, then later on in negotiations, 60-game season was decided upon. Why not revisit the bubble concept then when it wasn't going to be 4 to 5 months like players initially thought and when they turned down the bubble concept idea? I would have liked to have seen that happen. I think it's too late, obviously, for that. We're well past it. It's can you manage this situation and not have to cancel a season? I think that would be alarmist. I don't think that's the information that owners are going to get on this 12:30 call. I think, to your point, what happens with the Phillies? What do those test results say? If the Phillies didn't get a high number of test results, positive test results back after playing the Marlins, I think that this is salvageable for sure.
again, I think the next 24 to 48 hours, instead of saying, oh, here's the sky is falling at this point, you're right. The linchpin's going to be the Philadelphia Phillies and what happens with their test results. Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Remember, ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Chris Cody, don't worry, though, right? Derek Jeter is on the case. As a Marlins fan, has he not put out a statement that just makes you feel, take a deep breath, everything's going to be A-OK, sunshine?
He released a statement, and he did what Derek Jeter usually does. There was a lot of words there, not a lot of substance I didn't see. Basically, he just said, we've experienced some challenges the last couple of days. We've done another round of testing, and we'll get some results back later today. That's basically what he said. But it's nice to hear from the captain.
Billy, you feel good about this? I mean, that's your boy. That's your gift basket guy. Come on. Where are you at with him?
The one thing I found interesting in it, because he says all the right things, is just he makes sure to point out, you know, everything went well when we were in Miami. And when we left, that's when the team got infected. So things were safe when we did spring training 2.0 in Miami. We got it on the road.
Is there something that when you become an owner of a team, you lose all opportunities to say anything that cuts through? And I guess I understand it's a team statement, Katie, but I feel like the neutering that goes around whenever you become an owner or that really high position, it's like a Mad Libs of you just type in words and a statement comes out.
I feel like the conversation that people in high-ranking positions have with their PR people is like, say something, but don't say anything at all. Do you know what I mean? Just like, we have to say something, but don't say anything at all. It's not like he was going to put that in the statement, like, I knew we shouldn't have gone to Atlanta for that scrimmage. I knew it came from there.
Wouldn't it have been great if he would have said that? It'd be like, y'all, I told you this blank was not going to work. Just so you guys know, I was the only one of the owners. It was me and the Indians owner that had said, this blank ain't going to work. Like, I feel like I would respect an owner that would say that a little bit more. But again, these are big decisions that Rob Manfred is going to have to decide on this 12:30 call coming up in, 37 minutes now. Yes, Billy.
I feel like for Derek Jeter, that is what he did, though, right? Because, like, think about his career. He always kind of said the right thing. He never put himself, like, in a position of controversy saying something. So even that, like, little, hey, by the way, things were fine in Miami. Not until we left did we get this. It's kind of for Jeter, like, whoa.
Controversial Jeter? Is that where we're at now? That's... That's
not so aggressive, Derek. Calm down.
Back it down. Back it down just a touch. Or maybe he had a PR. Maybe that's he said like just the right thing, and somebody in public relations or communication says, let's spice this up just a little bit. And that was the spicing up. Yes, Chris.
Yeah, in a shocking twist, he said the health of his players and staff is most important. Real crazy stuff.
That's nuts. At this point, again, the fallout of this, Katie, is intriguing because now Baltimore, Miami postpone, Yankees, Phillies postpone. You continue to play, right? Or do you say, I mean, are you going to make up just that game? I mean, that's the question, I guess, they're trying to figure out here with Rob Manfred today.
Well, it depends, right? Because if you have all these people test positive, in their actual positive cases, they're going to have to quarantine for quite some time, and then they have to produce two negative test results within 24 hours of each other and not display symptoms for 72 hours. So you're going to have a lot of guys for the Marlins out for quite some time.
All right, you can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05, myself @PeterBurnsESPN. It's the Dan Le Batard Show. What's two guts?